We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordana, Paul, it's Tuesday, right? Susan Blanche, thank God, for telling me it's Tuesday.
Got to get the day of the week
right. You know, the summer's tough because the kids are home every day.
They all blur. So the days blur together.
Yes, and then... Yeah. You know, one day this one wants to play golf or this one, you know, is at camp or swimming with the friends. Like, it's all just a mush in the morning. So it really is hard to keep straight. Thank God for you guys.
So you still look forward to summer. I don't get the impression that you are a summer Scrooge.
Yeah.
I assume that just about all of us adore summer as much as I do.
Well, because we live in Minnesota. Like, if you live in Minnesota, you can't hate summer. It's just like our only other season, and it's not winter.
No, I know. Yeah, we shiver 6-7 months out of the year. We suffer for our summers.
That's for sure.
And we daydream about our summers. But I do know that, you know, a lot of moms and dads, the kids are home. It's a lot of work. It changes things. Yeah. It changes the dynamic. Mm-hmm.
For parents, it's a lot of work. Absolutely. Before we talk about if you're a summer Scrooge or not, I want to remind everybody we are live streaming on Facebook, trying a new setup today with an iPad, a different shot. So just chime in. And you can always interact with us on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. We live stream the show from 3 to 6. I'd love to read your comments, and we try to get to you in the commercials.
Yeah, it's Halter Top Tuesday. I'm wearing my halter top. I don't think it's a good look, but
no, it's not really for you.
So we're trying some new things streaming on Faceplant, and tune in if you can.
I wish they could see your shoes. We tried to show a shot of the shoes before. Paul has his new Doppler shoes, which have a Hook Echo on them, which means there's a tornado. There's a tornado
again,
coming.
I mentioned
on the shoes.
This on Twitter. I don't know if this is cool, geeky. Geeky, cool,
no,
meteorological,
it's cool.
Or if it's a cry for help.
It's cool. And if you're on the phone or you're not watching us on Facebook, check out our Twitter. At Jordana WCCO. I took a picture of the shoes on Twitter, so you can see those. So take a look at those. Okay. Anyway, back to our conversation. Wall Street Journal had a really interesting piece about people who hate summer.
I was surprised. The Washington Post did as well.
No, are these people the same species as you and I? Because summer is where it's at. Summer's happening. Summer's what we wait all year for. I mean, it's summer.
I think it's the long days and the short nights that can leave some people feeling disoriented, tired. They're not getting the sleep that they get the rest of the year.
It doesn't get dark here till
9, 10 o'clock, and it's light again at 4:35 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I find that invigorating, energizing. I have more energy in the summer than I do in January, God knows.
I love it.
But this Washington Post op-ed, the writer said, the birds warble at 5 a.m., your neighbor mows his lawn at 9 p.m., your kids beg to stay up way too late. Rude brightness wakes you up at a god-awful hour and later tricks you into remaining at your office well past the point when you should be asking to see the menu. Here's the bottom line is darkness, according to scientists, darkness cures production of a hormone, melatonin, which makes us feel sleepy. But the fact that it's light later in the evening delays this natural cycle, Jor, and it pushes adults and kids to stay up later, but because young children thrive with a consistent bedtime and wake-up time.
Are my kids listening? All right, I hope
summer's
you guys are
late
listening.
Sunsets can be hard on family life, according to one expert. Think whining, exhausted, hot kids who can't sleep at night and are too tired to enjoy their summer activities the next day. Again, they bring up sleep deprivation, which has an effect on mood, messed up circadian rhythms, thrown off biological clocks. And some people can be depressed in the summer. I find it hard to believe, but...
Is this you? 651-989-9226. Are you the summer Scrooge? 651-989-9226. Do you hate it? Do you not like it? Do you sleep less? I get the sleep less because It is light out, and
I think it's
5:52 when I opened my eyes.
When
this
we're
morning,
up at the lake,
and it's
still twilight at 11 o'clock at night. I find that amazing. Yeah.
Do you still get as much sleep as you do in the winter?
No, but I find I don't need as much sleep in the summer than I do in December or January. But that's just me. I mean, everybody has a different circadian rhythm.
And something I've noticed, parents of teenagers or small children, the kids sleep till noon anyway, if they can. I don't know if this is happening in your house.
Get up at the crack of noon?
But they are in no rush, despite those little cracks of sunshine coming in the window or under the shade. Mine can sleep till noon, given the opportunity. So I don't think it has the same effect on the hormonal teenagers that maybe it has on you and I.
So let me ask a deeply personal question.
Uh-oh, I'm getting nervous now.
Are you looking forward to sweating? 90s?
I love a good schwitz. I love a good schwitz. Absolutely.
I mean, for me, it isn't summer until and unless it hits 90 degrees.
I would agree with that.
But then again, I'm blessed that I have air conditioning in my vehicle.
Not
I
like
have
in
air
France.
Conditioning at home.
Mm-hmm.
And don't assume that everybody has access to AC. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be hot this weekend, 90s, at least 4 days in a row. And the heat index is going to be over 100. I think, by Sunday and Monday. So, you know, potentially dangerous for some. For most of us, again, if you're near a lake or a pool, you're going to be just fine.
I can't wait. I'm already planning on being outside the entire weekend, going to the lakes. Or if someone's got a pool they want to invite me to, I will be there too.
A pool party?
And visit. Yeah, I think I love to take walks, and I rarely run, only when being chased. But I love to be outside as naked as legally allowed, you know, the tank top and the little skirt, whatever you got. And then I love the heat. I love feeling the sun on my skin. I'm a Leo, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And maybe that's a ridiculous excuse for me loving summer, but I love summer.
Do you believe in astrology? I mean, do you follow that stuff?
Believe
do you
in
look
everything.
Up your horoscope?
I mean, I haven't
in a long
time. Do you
think there's anything to that?
But maybe I should today.
Yeah.
I don't know, but all good things happen on my birthday, and I will remind you in the weeks coming.
It's July 28th.
Thank you. It's because it's also
my anniversary. I better not forget that date. So, it is ironic.
If you are a summer Scrooge, jump in. Barbara on Facebook says, I do not enjoy summer. Never have. Allergies do me in, and I prefer air conditioning. I get it. All of my kids suffered in the 5 minutes of spring that we did have before the rain hit and now before the 90s. They did suffer for many weeks thinking that with the allergies, they were a mess. So I get it. When the warm weather comes, the allergies are bad. But now they're a little bit better.
I'd rather put up with the warm weather hassles than the cold weather hassles.
I don't want to shovel. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to be
cold.
So I don't know. If you're a summer Scrooge, let us know. If not, enjoy it and just schwitz with us this weekend because I have nothing but good things to say about the forecast.
Schwitz?
Schwitz with
can
us.
Can you say that on the air?
I absolutely can.
Okay.
And I will
all
many
right.
times. So here's an interesting story. Toys R Us is coming back.
It's back from the dead?
Toys R Us is coming back. We're going to share with you where they're going to be and how you can get into the Toys R Us if you're so inclined next on CCO. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Oh, you were talking to the listeners.
I was talking to the
man.
Listeners. Right. I was talking to you. I was talking to Susan. President Trump announced on Monday that he was imposing some new sanctions on Iran. And his tweets this morning were very bombastic. I know you talked about this with Chad quite a bit. They were, I don't like to use the word threatening, but he did use the word obliteration in some of those
he
tweets.
Said Iran's very ignorant and insulting statement put out today only shows that they do not understand reality. Any attack by Iran on anything American will be met with great and overwhelming force. In some areas, overwhelming will mean obliteration. No more John Kerry and Obama. Sent that out at about 10:42 this morning.
And this is not just a war of words. You know, the new sanctions are a stepping up of a policy pressuring Iran's leaders and squeezing the economy in retaliation for these what they believe are recent aggressive attacks by Tehran. You know, shooting down the drone, attacking the boat. This is what U.S. says are attacks by Iran. And the new sanctions are aimed at preventing top Iranian officials from using international banking systems or any financial vehicles via Europe. And I've been listening to a couple of pundits talk about this today, and they say no matter what you think about what's happening right now in Iran and the rhetoric around it, these sanctions are working. They say the sanction, they believe the sanctions have been working. That's why Iran is stepping up these kind of attacks and, you know, pinging us a little bit. And I although some of the pundits say they don't see any way out of this except for military action.
And again, it may be overly simplistic, but the metaphor that comes to mind is if you trap a rabid skunk in a corner, mm-hmm. that skunk is going to bite back and yeah. you're going to get sprayed. I mean, they may feel trapped. They may feel like they have no other option than mm-hmm. to lash out with some sort of a military strike to maybe try to call the president's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like President Trump is having second, third thoughts about actually, you know, launching mm-hmm. a limited war or any kind of a strike, even a retaliatory strike for bringing down that drone. Mm-hmm. By the way, that was a $130 million drone.
Yeah. Not like the one you have in the backyard.
No, no.
A little different.
Mine was a couple of hundred
yeah.
bucks.
A little different.
But yeah, this was state of the art. So they brought that thing down, and we'll see. It's a dangerous game.
It is a dangerous game. And you're also dealing with people in Iran who are fairly nuts. I mean, this is a totalitarian regime. They're a dictatorship. They only want what they want. It seems like it's hard to reason with people. Iran is the greatest state sponsor of terrorism mm-hmm. in the world. They love terrorism. So it would be hard to negotiate reasonably with these people. And when you look down the nose of it, as these pundits did that I was listening to this morning, it was a podcast, and they say the only way out of this they see is military. And the president did not strike because he said 150 people would have been killed if he did strike the other day. And I respect mercy. I respect I don't have the answer, but a military action against Iran would have to be strong and swift.
But again, the fact that we're sending, 1,000 more troops?
We are. It's not really very many.
If we were truly gearing up mm-hmm. for a major assault, i.e. mm-hmm. Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, I mean, you'd need
many
50,000, 100,000 troops, and you'd want to get our allies involved. And I'm not sure there's any appetite for even the Brits and the mm-hmm. Australians, the people that stood behind us during Operation Desert Storm. It seems like, at least to date, there's been very little appetite for our NATO allies to fall in line. And
that's right.
If it comes to a fighting war, fight alongside us. See no signs of that. So we'll see. The president said something interesting. He said the wonderful Iranian people are suffering, and for no reason at all. Their leadership spends all of its money on terror and little on anything else. The U.S. has not forgotten Iran's use of IEDs and EFPs, bombs, mm-hmm. which killed 2,000 Americans and wounded many more. So,
could be the only way out of this is military. We're going to get some of these questions answered. Coming up at 5:10, Pamela Falk, our international correspondent from CBS, is going to be joining us. She's been on the show many times. Fantastic. Very learned. And she just lays it plain for us. I know she's a reporter, but she does give opinions as to, you know, what could be the options in Iran. So we're going to delve into that a little bit more coming up at 5:10.
The other thing that was interesting, I've seen support, bipartisan support, mm-hmm. for the president's willingness to step back from the abyss. The fact that with, 30 minutes before the planned strike, President Trump called it off.
A war with
Iran. The retaliatory strike
is not something we might be ready for, as right. you mentioned, if we don't have the support of our allies. So I think the smart money may have been to pull it back.
So he's got, at a time when everything is polarized, mm-hmm. everything, it seems like he got a fair amount of support, even from Democrats, right. for saying, you know, it in that situation, take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be tit for tat. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, and we'll hope for the best. Looking forward to hearing from Pamela Falk at 5:10, right?
That's coming up at 5:10. When we get back, Illinois just approved legal weed recreationally. You know who we're going to talk to? John Williams, an old good friend to the show. used to sit, stand, I guess, in this very spot. So John Williams is going to be joining us from Chicago. He's probably very high right now, as weed is now legalized in Illinois. So we'll chat with Williams after the break.
Hey, you know what I do got, though, man? I got a joint, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right.
Light it up. Let's get Chinese eyes, man.
What kind of joint is this, man?
Oh, it's a heavy-duty joint, man.
It looks like a toothpick, man.
No, it's not a toothpick, man.
No, hey, it is a toothpick, man.
Oh, man, it's just... It is a toothpick.
A little politically incorrect.
I love
there.
Cheech and Chong. Can't have enough Cheech and Chong.
It was just a toothpick.
We should... Don't try to smoke a toothpick.
For now.
All right. The reason we started with Cheech and Chong, if you haven't heard, Illinois... Just today became the 11th state in the United States to legalize the sale and use of recreational marijuana for adults. And one of the things I found interesting is that legalization in Illinois means that nearly 800,000 people with criminal records for purchasing or possessing 30 grams of marijuana or less may have those records expunged.
That's pretty awesome.
25% of tax revenue from pot sales going to redevelop impoverished communities in Chicago.
I kind of love everything about that.
A novel approach to using some of that tax money.
Gee, Paul, gee, Susan, who do we know in Illinois that we could, that giggles like that we could talk to?
Who's not stoned?
John Williams, our old friend. I'm sitting in your seat, and I'm so happy to hear your voice. Welcome, welcome.
It's hey, John.
You guys sound great. How are you? Good. How's it going?
Well, I'm trying to keep an eye on Jordana, and as you may recall, that's a losing battle, right?
You should have asked me about that.
She does her own thing, yeah.
Don't even try.
I'm along for the ride, but it's so great to hear your voice. And I'm curious, what is the reaction in Chicago across Illinois? Is it too early to really know?
It is, because... When they passed it, I have to tell you, when they passed it, we had the video of the legislature, and, you know, they say, and now the final vote comes in, and Illinois has legal marijuana, because this is the first time any state has passed it through the legislature. Previously, it was ballot initiatives. You know, the citizens say we want it, which always sort of enabled, I think, the legislators to skirt having to say yes or no. But our, you know, lawmakers said, no, we want it. And they were jumping up and down and hugging and cheering.
Wow.
Like they just won a game.
Right?
And I got my reaction, I'll be honest with you, was like, I get it, and I'm on board. I've all long been an advocate for doing this. But the closer we got to it, the more reservations I started to have.
Why? How so?
Just be careful what you ask for. Like, okay, so now I hope that this doesn't mean that kids are going to use marijuana more, or that it's not going to lead to more suicides, or it's going to lead to more people driving and crashing, or a whole host of things. It's like, yeah, I think it should be that way for a lot of reasons, but I hope we're not borrowing new trouble, you know, more trouble than we used to have. So we're gonna find out the 1st of January if this is all that in a bag of chips, man.
But Colorado, I think it's over $1 billion.
It's well over $1 billion.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're saying that we'll get $500 million a year in taxes. That's not gross sales. That's taxes.
Yeah.
And our state's upside down. Do you guys still have a budget surplus?
We do. Yes.
That's amazing.
In theory.
Still trying to decide how to spend that.
I know. So you guys fight over that. But we're the exact opposite. As flush as Minnesota is, Illinois is the exact opposite. So they need every. I mean, we legalized sports betting, too.
Yes.
I mean, you know, pick it. We'll take anybody's money now any way we can get it. And that's the other thing. You know, I get the principle of this, like, okay, too many people are going to jail that shouldn't go to jail or have criminal records and it follows them. We should expunge those. And those are all good ideas. But the reason we're doing this is we need the cash.
Mm.
We need the money.
What do the listeners think, John, when they call into your show?
I think they're maybe like you, Jordana, and me on this. Like, yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, this is stupid to be busting people for pot,
right?
For God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I could read you a laundry list of reasons not to do it, and a lot of them come from doctors, you know?
Especially with young people, right? I mean, the brain is not fully formed, the prefrontal cortex and all of that. So I understand the concerns, and that is the challenge, right? How do you keep it out of the hands of minors by having it available at dispensaries? Do you increase the odds that younger people are going to get their hands on it. They're going to get their hands on it anyway.
And
they already have
their hands on it right now, and it's not legal.
Right, but so then they say, okay, but now the state will be involved in the trade, so it's legal, and it's no different than alcohol, and you got to be 21, and you can only have 30 grams of weed. You know, there's different ways.
But that's for residents, right? Non-residents?
You guys can come down and get
half. When I come down, I can get half that, right?
Yeah, how about that? So, I don't, but you know, I mean, you don't have to. You can get it in Minnesota, for crying out loud, so I don't know. And some people think that this will, and a lot of people think this won't eliminate the underground trade. You know, maybe somebody else will sell it illegally. They don't have a license or they're selling you too much. The other thing that concerns a lot of people is that, and I'm not any good on this subject, but I hear that the marijuana that you're buying now, legally or otherwise, has such a higher THC content. It kicks your butt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
like
true.
This. So these legislators or people my age who are saying, oh, this is a great idea, even if they don't smoke marijuana anymore, have no idea what the concentration is of this stuff. You know, it's a lot stronger.
It's not the skunk weed that some of us grew up with.
Yeah,
but
the 70s.
I'm just curious, John, too, when it comes to enforcing on the highways that people can't drive impaired under the influence of weed. Are we at a point, and I don't mean to ambush you, I honestly don't know the answer to this, but do we have tests for THC where on the spot we can tell if a motorist is in fact impaired like we do for alcohol?
That's funny you mentioned that, Paul, because we just had a local police department in our studio last week, and they are the kind of the municipality that seems to have the most expertise on this. And I talked to them for about half an hour, and at the end of the interview, we all kind of concluded, yeah, they don't know. Well, I don't know, because it's like, you know, it's 0.8 with alcohol. You know, if you blow into the thing and you have too much alcohol in your system, it'll show up in your breath. What's the equivalent of that on the street? That does not exist. And so I told them, and I think, and they go, yeah, this is going to happen. There's going to be lawsuits. Now, maybe they figured this out in Colorado, but if you pull me over and you say, okay, I use marijuana, how much can I have in my system? I think it's like 5 milligrams or nanograms. There's some test that if they go to the police station and they get your urine or the blood, they can test it. But in the field, how can they tell if you're too high to drive?
In real time,
and
yeah.
There's no, they don't know. They don't know. Some people can handle it better than others. You know, I mean, it's not illegal to have had an alcoholic drink and drive. Mm-hmm. So it's not illegal to have smoked marijuana and drive. Okay, well then, how long do I have to wait? How much can I have? Of what kind? Nobody knows the answers to those questions here.
John, if you're driving 15 miles an hour on the Kennedy Expressway, that should be a tip off.
Yeah.
You're texting. Then you're just texting.
Well,
but I mean, that's it, really. I mean, like, you've been behind people and you go, that person's either really drunk or they're texting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we'll have some people. So you pull that guy over and he doesn't blow for alcohol and he wasn't texting. So now, you know, maybe he was using marijuana. Mm-hmm. Do you haul him downtown and try and figure that out? I don't envy them for that. That's going to be a difficult task.
I know in Colorado now, folks, regular folks who want to get into the business, want to own a dispensary, because obviously they see the cash cow now, it is near impossible to get a license to become an owner. You have to have enormous background checks, a whole lot of money, go through all these hoops. What's interesting about this Illinois law, regulators are going to give preference points to members of minority groups seeking to get business license.
Yeah.
And state certified labs would test, you know, they obviously have to test for the
potency. What do you think of that?
You know, I mean, I guess it seems that your law is being geared toward expunging people who now they see were unfairly, you know, dragged down and locked up for pot, and helping some lower socioeconomic communities, right? I mean, that's where your law is going. So I can see where they would, minority business owners, they want to give them a leg up on that. I think if they're a quality owner and they know how to run a business,
yeah, I guess.
I think that's fine for me.
Well, that's one side of the coin. But the other one is drugs have ravaged these communities.
Mm-hmm.
And now the state says, and guess what? We're going to give you some pot stores,
right,
too.
Right.
And I mean, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because if you don't guarantee that the black and brown communities will get their fair share of these stores, well, then you seem to be discriminating against them. But I think it's buying votes and making money on the backs of people who the last thing they need is now more marijuana in those neighborhoods. Like, I don't know, don't arrest these people, maybe. Maybe it's a great idea. Maybe I'm wrong. But I got kind of a sick feeling in my stomach when they said, and don't worry, we'll make sure that the African-American community has plenty of access to this stuff because Lord knows we need the money.
John, can we expect to see dispensaries on the Miracle Mile?
It sounds like someone's planning a trip.
No.
He's leaving right after the show.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they say that they're going to make it like they're guaranteeing in the law that there won't be, you know, a liquor store in every corner. So just like dispensaries in Minnesota, they have to be geographically,
right,
you know, stationed in certain places. So will there be one on the Mag Mile, you know, our big tourist spot? Will there be, you know, what would be the equivalent to that? Would there be one on Nicollet Mall,
yeah,
in Minneapolis? Would that be the good place to put it? I'd come to your town, we could do it. Guys, why is it whenever we start to talk about marijuana, we fall into that voice, the stoner voice?
Hey, man.
The Cheech and Chong.
Knock it off, man.
But that's a good question. I don't know where they are going to be. Heck, they might as well put one at the airport. You could fly in, give us some of your money, and fly out. But I don't know where they're going to be.
It's pretty regulated in Colorado, at least. I know, like, when we go skiing, we try to ski Vail. And I don't think in, like, Vail Village or that area, I've never seen one. You know, you can go a few miles away and get it in a little town. But I think you get to decide, maybe certainly if you're the landowner or the strip mall owner, maybe even the city. I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but I know there are areas of Colorado where they don't.
Well, municipalities here will have the right to ban it.
Okay.
So it's legal to possess it, okay, use it, but they could say that there will be no stores in our neighborhood.
Got it.
So maybe Chicago could do that. I doubt they would, but maybe they would coordinate off of the high traffic areas. When I've been in Colorado, Jordana, I've seen that the stores – I remember when I saw my first marijuana store, and I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yes.
I want to go in. I want to just see it happening. I can't believe this. And the stores look kind of dumpy. You know, they
yes.
weren't mm-hmm. – I thought it was going to be a nice
– It depends.
They look
it
like
depends.
Pawn shops.
Yeah.
Totally. Look like pawn shops.
Some of them are more upscale, but I don't know.
Oh, really?
You'll have to go back.
Huh. Yeah, and I don't use.
Yet.
Do you think I would?
No, I think you're too hyper, John. I think it would make it worse for you. I think you would be way paranoid.
You meant to think that.
The world isn't ready for John Williams Stone.
Really?
We're just not ready.
Just experiment one show. Do one show under the influence. Maybe as a cautionary tale for all your listeners.
I'm curious to just like, maybe I would take an edible. I wouldn't smoke it, but maybe I would take an edible and see what that was like. But I don't know. Wouldn't it be just like drinking gin or vodka? I mean, right?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't tried it enough to know enough about it. I don't know. John Williams, you're pretty good at this radio thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Well, if you want to talk Twins, White Sox.
And we got to go now. We're out of time.
Yeah, wow. Look at the time.
pardon me. I know how clocks work. Why?
You're the best.
Thanks, John.
We will call you to talk Twins, White Sox, but to hear his voice.
He kept his sense of humor.
I need to think about John Williams High, though, because he is like a real hyper-paranoid person. So I don't know if that would just make it worse or they would mellow him out.
Wouldn't it chill him a little bit?
Be
He'd be a little
chill
more chill.
John. Yeah.
All right.
We'll have to find out, right?
It's
we'll
a worthy
visit.
Experiment.
We'll make a video.
It's you and John
we'll
both.
We'll make a video.
Yeah. Couple of showers. Brainerd Lakes on up to Duluth this evening. Otherwise, windy and mild. Should be dry as the Twins take on Tampa Bay. First pitch, 7:10, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, pregame, 6:30, right here on CCO on your twin station. Windy and mild overnight, low 62, warm sun tomorrow, 86. Could be a couple of storms flaring up Wednesday night. So maybe a 1-in-3 chance of thunder for the Twins game tomorrow evening. We shall see. Thursday, some sun. You start to feel the humidity. A stray storm, 86. Friday, sunny, hot, sticky, 89. Saturday, sweaty sun. It may feel like 100 in the shade by mid-afternoon, a high of 92. Sunday, muggy, tropical. A few more storms flaring up later in the day, high 92. 94 next Monday and 93 Tuesday. A couple of storms each day, so 3-4 days in a row in the 90s. By the weekend, there will be no doubt in your mind that it's summertime. 81 now, 353 at CCO.
Welcome back, Paul and Jordana. Coming up after the news. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made some interesting remarks.
Yes, concentration camp or detention camp, internment camp, words matter. We'll find out what you think.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.